Well, good morning, and I also greet you in Jesus' name. Welcome. Welcome to each one of you, visitors. Glad to see you, and the more, few more of you that have just gathered in, you're welcome here, and encourage you to worship God with us this morning. I've been truly blessed by our service this morning. It's one of the nicest things about being one of the last persons to speak in a church service. And Brother Sonny, you grew up in a church where the preacher spoke first, and I had the privilege of being there at your church one time. And well, that's what happened. That's what went wrong with that sermon, because I had to be the first one to speak. I can't remember if anything went right or wrong, but there is much blessing we receive in the development of our service. I've always appreciated that, and the singing, of course. Brother Moses, your devotional was challenging to me, and I believe it was truth. I do believe that. Well, I hope that there are many, I'm not sure which term you use, but many giants of faith here, because we're a group of people who struggle with God. And I really do believe that encapsulates, I felt like the thoughts this morning you took from there sort of encapsulates the Christian life. And it's the kind of things that that is helpful. And so may God help us as we go forward to understand why we face some of the challenges we do. I want to also thank you all for your blessing us in the last couple of weeks. I've appreciated your prayers. And thank you for letting us be gone as much as we were. Sometime this past summer, late summer, I got a WhatsApp message from a friend of mine, Kervin Weaver, from Ridgeview Congregation in Missouri, and he said, "Brother, would you consider coming here to serve as evangelist? Well, there's been a lot going on in our congregation, and one of our ministers lost his wife, and somehow we overlooked the fact that we have not scheduled anybody for revivals." And we thought about it, prayed about it, talked with the ministry about it, and agreed to do it. And then about 2 months later, along came this request to go to Bangladesh. And so we felt like we could hardly say no to that one either. So we took both. And so thank you for your prayers. Thank you for helping us with our family. God's been very good to me, to us. And, you know, there is something about being gone that, I don't know, it sort of pulls on the heartstrings. And so I really am thankful for the church family here. I'm thankful for the strength and, yes, the weaknesses that are here, because we all have them. And so I want to embrace them. God did work in my heart in a week of revival. I've noticed that before. I treasure that. I believe that we need to go with our hearts prepared in the first place. I believe that it is very important that by the grace of God, we're able to minister out of a heart that is in tune with God. But there was something about that, I don't know, maybe it was the pressure that was placed upon. It's a big church family. I just want to bring you the greeting of the Ridgeview congregation to you all. They've grown very quickly in the last couple years to about 190 people in a building that's not much bigger than ours. And literally, the people start right here, and they're back into the vestibules in the little... it's just a full house. They are working on dividing the congregation in half, and so we can keep that in our prayers. But I was intrigued, and I was really challenged by people who are very sincere and who are in pursuit of God and in that struggle with God. And I was very encouraged by it, challenged my own life, and so I just want to acknowledge that this morning. And again, thank you for your part in that. I received messages, and I appreciate the support that you gave. I did want to make one additional announcement, Brother Ernst, I thought of it. We are planning to start a Bible study with Brother Mike in preparation in the development of his becoming a member here in the church. He's requested that. We plan to start that on Tuesday morning, us and a couple brothers. So you can keep that in your prayers, and I just wanted to share that as another item that God has for us, and so we look forward to that. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for Mike as well, as he continues to seek God and follow his will for his life. I'm happy to have my little sister here with me as well, with us here this morning from Alberta. Welcome here. It's good to have you here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I'd like to take a message from Romans 1 this morning. Actually, I'm pretty much going to stay in one verse. Is that okay? To stay in one verse this morning, I felt like narrowing the scope, if I could, might help me to collect my thoughts. Romans chapter 1, and Paul, it's accepted fact that Paul wrote this letter. Well, it says it in verse 1. And that he was writing it to the church at Rome, and it seems like it was likely that he had never been there yet himself, the way he writes the letter. Eventually, he did arrive there under arrest, and perhaps that indeed was his first visit to Rome. I'm not sure about that, but he presents the gospel as Paul does in the opening of the letter. And I'm not going to read every one of these verses, but verse 4, speaking of Christ, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And so Paul is speaking about that which he had. I don't know if Paul saw it or not. I don't know exact timelines, but it was very, very close to his life. Likely he was a young man. Perhaps a boy, but we don't know. I don't have that sorted out exactly. But my point is that he's speaking about this very closely, and what he has seen and heard of the church. And then he continues on in verse 9, speaking about whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. He's serving God. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. He's speaking about the believers there at Rome. He would like to come to them in verse 10, that I might impart some spiritual gift in verse 11, to the end you may be established, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Again, he talks about wishing that he could come in verse 13. And then he says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And so he is recognizing the gospel and its his responsibility to and what he has received from really all, not just the Jews, but to the Gentiles and the barbarians and so on. And so he said, I would like to come preach the gospel at Rome also. And verse 16 is that I remember sitting in a room full of leaders of the salt work. So we were at CAM offices, and we're sitting in this room of a couple hundred people who are there specifically for training. Many of them were in from different countries and had come back for a couple days of training. And the one speaker was speaking. He said, well, you know that verse in Romans 1, verse 16? What is it? There was a silence. Then a brother in the back, for I am not ashamed. And I was like, oh my. See, I couldn't have said that verse. I know the verse, but I didn't connect it to Romans 1:16. And so I took from that I should soak more in the word and try to lay hold of these verses more. I'm making my way to our theme verse here. And then Paul begins to recognize this problem in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21 is our theme verse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I am going to think about thankfulness, Thanksgiving. Title of the sermon is The Heart of Thanksgiving. My mind was drawn towards this topic as I came to the end of the week here, and I went looking back through my files. I'm not the most organized person around, but by God's grace, I figured out how to use Google Drive, and I've organized my documents in there, and I do have one heading that's all sermons, and then underneath that, I have every year's sermons and special sermons and those kinds of things. So I began to search through those, and I've never really trusted my search feature that well because it doesn't seem to pick things up like I think it should, and it didn't pick up any words. It didn't pick up thankful or thanksgiving. I was like, wow. So I went in and I began to go through all the sermons title by title, not word by word, not page by page. And I realized that I have never spoken specifically on the topic of thankfulness. This morning, I don't feel like I'm going to explore the scope of thankfulness at all, but I'd rather like to just spend a little bit of time on, well, the heart of the issue. The heart of Thanksgiving. You could use that word in a number of different ways. You could say, well, you know, there's this Thanksgiving holiday, and so what's the essence of it? Like, what does it mean? Well, I think that the forefathers here or those who were inspired by it, there's a different people who were responsible for its becoming a holiday in the United States of America. I believe they did have a sincere desire to pause, have a day of Thanksgiving to Almighty God. I believe that was the essence of what they wanted to do. But this idea of Thanksgiving is as old as there are people, pretty much. And so back across millennia, it seemed like many cultures had a way in which they would set aside a moment, often after harvest, they would set aside to worship a deity or some power above. And yes, God. Certainly there were those who came to those understandings as well. But this thought of, and so this is a very, this wasn't a brand new idea, but it was, you could say, United States of America's way in which they wanted to honor the Almighty, the Creator God. And so that was generally the reasons why this. So as I would say in a historical sense, the heart of Thanksgiving is, the heart of it for America is to thank God, to recognize Almighty God above heaven and earth that is providing what we cannot provide for ourselves. I believe that's it. We could also use the word of, we could also use this word heart to try to understand, well, set aside the day, what is the heart of Thanksgiving? And it seems to me that there's going to be a lot of activity that happens on Thanksgiving Day that misses not only the essence of which the day was established in the first place, but it certainly will miss the essence of what really makes Thanksgiving anyway. What is it that causes me to be, well, I'm going to use the word grateful. To me, that helped unlock the door of this subject, grateful. See, there is more depth to that word for me, and I'll try to explore that as we go along. And so we recognize this idea of heart. And once again, I've been intrigued in the last number of months of this question. What moves the heart? Why is it that we go to these places in life, we sort of move in life, we grow in life, and then we sort of, I don't know, you know, we sort of flatten out. We sort of go into some kind of a difficulty or maybe even a regression. And then there's something that will move the heart. And I think about that a lot. It does seem, I believe that is where God does his work. That is what God wants to touch. That is what God wants to move. And so many times we stand in the way of it. So this idea of heart, it's brought out many, many times in the Bible. And I'm just going to refer to one outside of our text here. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So Jesus is connecting the heart to what comes out of our mouths. Jesus connects many, many times as he is chastising the Pharisees. He said, you're a whited sepulcher, and inside there's dead men bones. Where the heart is, it's dark. Where the heart is, there's death. Where the heart is, it just stinks. And he says, that's what I'm seeing. That's what I want to touch. That's what I'm looking for. And so this morning, I would like us to consider that as we think about Thanksgiving and the status of my heart, the state of my heart before Almighty God. And I think as we analyze that, as we look at that, it will help us to understand why Paul was inspired to write what he did, because the end of this verse 21 is quite sobering. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Thanksgiving that reaches to God must come from our hearts. And so what is the heart of thanksgiving? And I mentioned the word gratefulness, and I'd like to try to define that, or I'd like us to me, I went to Webster's, and I studied out, you know, thanksgiving and gratefulness, and they have some very common definitions. However, if you go down a little bit further there under gratefulness, it'll say it's asking for people to write in what comes to their mind about gratefulness. And to me, that helped me to understand this as I understood it. And that was, it is an expression of the heart. It is attached to feeling, but it's also attached to something that wells up from us. And then on down a bit further, they'll also give you the option of, what do children say? What's children's definition? And it was even more clear in the thought that I'm sharing this morning. Gratefulness is connected to feelings that are centered in my heart that desire to be expressed. Sometimes those feelings come out in the form of words of thanks, but many times they are expressed in prayer. They're expressed in worship. They're expressed in public testimony. They're expressed at times in tears, but always with feeling that comes from the heart. I may have referenced this example somewhere, but I'll just give you an idea of, this morning I held the door for a couple of people, and I was also making note of the deposit there for people to step around it. Different folks said thanks as they came in the door. And I wondered to myself, so what does that thanks mean? Well, I'm not even going to try to sort that all out, except to say that by and large, we do have our manners that come out, and they should. That's a good thing. It's not a wrong thing to say thanks. I mean, I think about it sometimes. You might hold the door open at Sheets, and somebody walks in, they say thanks, and neither of you meant much by it. You didn't mean much by holding the door, and the person who said thanks didn't mean much by it either. And it's okay. It's a manner. It's. But we're thinking this morning about, what is it that touches our heart and touches God's heart, the heart of thanksgiving? This verse 21, I'm going to take 4 points from it and just move through that this morning for our sermon. Because that when they knew God is the first phrase that I have. And that my point there is acknowledge Creator God. So Paul is moving now, and he is recognizing this challenge with the Gentiles. The Jews had well-written history, prophecy, that was read to them regularly, teaching, law from God, but the Gentiles were not invited into those meetings. They did not have that. But Paul is making a very, very important link here that they had not something else. The Jews had that too, but they had the ministry of God through creation, through all that is seen around us. And I don't know, that's a very, very deep theological, I think, in my mind, question, because how does God reveal himself to all mankind? And I don't, and that's well beyond the scope of this subject and well beyond the scope of my mind and study. I do think that there is some revelation in the fact that God speaks into the heart. God creates, first of all, man became a living soul. There still is a creation of God that enters into every life that brings with it. That's why children tend to always ask some of the same questions, I think, the world over. And they want to know, they understand there's right things and wrong things. They want to sort those things out. So there's some programming there. But then beyond that, Paul's recognizing here that the Gentiles had the opportunity to see God. God showed himself. In fact, he says in verse 20, were clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. He's talking about God being understood by those things that are made. And so this morning, we're thinking about the heart of thanksgiving. We must acknowledge Creator God. The other morning, it was one of our, it was like the third cold morning we had, somewhere between, just before I left to go out to Missouri. And I walked out the door of the house at 4, I think it was 4:15 a.m. Sometimes I do get up early. And I had my lunchbox, I had my coffee mug, I had some other things. And I come down the steps, and I just stopped. Because we hadn't seen a lot of clear skies. So not only was there not clouds there, there was something about that atmosphere that was just so clear. You could just about reach up and touch the stars. And so I looked up. Or did I look out? And I've made this statement different times. Maybe preachers do get stuck in their ruts. I have talked about looking up before. But I'm saying it because it's genuinely a part of my life. Looked up and I saw into the heavens, and I just thought to myself, here we are in the Milky Way galaxy, I'm not into astronomy very much. I don't have the statistics, I can't lay them out on the table, but I think there's millions of galaxies, you know, and there's 7 billion people on the earth. And is it true that there's millions or billions of stars at each? And there it is. You just look out at it. And it didn't just happen. There is no possible way that it just happened. And then I didn't look for more than just a couple minutes. And I saw a meteorite cross the sky. And I was telling our friend Tom about that, and he said, well, that was a message from God. And I thought to myself, I think that's the right spirit of faith. It still is. Anyway, I looked at that, and I recognized that there is truly a power well and far beyond my own. Acknowledge Creator God. The heart of thanksgiving begins in our understanding that we are so small and God is so big. In fact, we've been created by him as well. And then let's go from the big to something smaller. As I was pondering another illustration of this, my mind went to the monarch butterflies. And I remember they do some kind of a journey to Mexico, is it right? And I'll admit I went to Google to confirm that. And they go to the Southwest. And I really was thinking in my mind that the monarch butterflies that leave here in late summer, fall, early fall, make the trip and return back the next year, and they die as their new offspring comes forth, and that's not accurate. It's about 4 generations before they make it back here. Didn't know that. Now, the one that makes the longest journey is the one that leaves from here and goes all the way to Mexico. But then, as they come back in steps. So, one cycle comes, you know, they come from maybe Mexico partway up into America, and then the next life cycle brings them closer, and the next one brings them back up to the far northern region, and then that's the one that returns all the way back down to Mexico. You know, science has done, I will say, in my opinion, In my belief, science has done more to prove the existence of a lawgiver and creator, no matter how agnostic or atheist or committed men are to use science to disprove that there is a God. They continue to bump up against. A life giver. And then there's history to look at. Archaeology has shown that indeed the history that's written in the book, it's recorded here, is there. And they continue to find these things and they develop them. And so we do see that. God has moved and changed this world and he will continue to do so. It is his creation. And then, as I mentioned already, Paul was writing this to the Roman church shortly after the significant and world-changing event of Christ coming and what was all so very unique about that. And the fact that while he closed his mind to the possibilities of the great change that God brought through Jesus Christ, Paul was stopped on a road to Paul was stopped, and Christ revealed himself to him in a very spectacular way. And so Paul's writing from that confidence and that belief. There's no question about it. Acknowledging Creator God. And I'll just say this yet on this point. As Christians, as believers, as Christians, as disciples of Christ, we sense the very real and present Spirit of God working within us. And that is one of the realities that the Christian receives. And so it is true that sometimes, that yes, it does require faith to be able to step into that relationship to receive the witness of the Spirit within us. And so that's a very important component of us acknowledging Creator God. And while I think the unbeliever will, time and again, because these verses explain it, they will bump up against the reality that there is definitely something bigger and there is a beyond. There is a power, there is a force, and what are you going to do with that? At the very least, using the most loose terms, I think for the Christians, as a Christian, we recognize and are spoken to distinctly about this Creator. And so the heart of thanksgiving is acknowledging Creator God and all that that means. Secondly, the heart of thanksgiving is to glorify God for who he is. Very closely connected, but you'll see it here in verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, speaking in the negative. And in the positive this morning, the heart of thanksgiving is to glorify God. And that word glorify is to render glorious or to, well, full of glory, it says, or to honor, and I like this last one, to magnify. You know, to just magnify. It's so big, it's so far, and we can't describe it. And I cannot bring the description of God down to earth because it's beyond our language, our understanding, and so on. That is to magnify God. And so I ask us this morning, do we magnify God? Do we magnify God in our hearts? Do we give honor? This week I traveled into Southern Virginia. And over the last few years, I've noticed this. Somewhere about in Southern Virginia, you will begin to see random signs in front yards that simply say, "Thank you, Jesus." Has anybody seen those? "Thank you, Jesus." Well, maybe there's some around here. It's always stood out to me down that way. And I've wondered, like, why is that? I mean, first I thought, well, it's somebody, you know, who's just rejoicing, and they went and got a sign made. And it just clicked with me as I was preparing for this sermon that, you know, I thought about those signs that I saw again. I'm like, I wonder what that's about. And I started to type in, "Thank you, Jesus," signs, and it populated right away, that are stuck in front yards. And I just hit enter. That's what I want to see about. And it started in 2016. It was a young person, a young man in a church, who was praying about a way that he could magnify God, that he could honor God, that he could somehow profess Christ. And 2 weeks later, another person in that church, I believe it was a lady, stepped forward and said, I feel like, you know, there's something we should do here. Could we? And the two of them came together, and they designed this sign. And it became a ministry of their church, and particularly a ministry of this young man. Their place of business where they print these is their little storefront is down in North Carolina. And there's hundreds of thousands of these signs now. It's just an interesting little... But this young man's heart was to magnify God. It was to praise and honor and worship God. This project, with its roots in a small rural church, is where it began out of. And they wanted to share the ministry of God's goodness through Jesus Christ. And so I ask us this morning, how well are we doing as a church in glorifying God, in glorifying Jesus Christ? I ask us, how well are we doing with that personally? How well are we doing with that personally? Again, Jesus had much to say about those who said great things, about those who looked like great things, but on the inside, they were a proud and dark mess, a heart of thanksgiving. And so I ask us again this morning, do our hearts swell with magnifying God? Do our hearts swell with magnifying God? I'm probably going to move right into another point, but I wonder if it isn't in the very heat of that struggle or in the very heat of that battle that we can understand the salvation of our Lord and magnify God. And so that's how I do believe that God allows us, causes us to grow. If I may, I'll just bring Lyndon Durstine's name into this. I know Lyndon just a little bit. I don't know him that well, but he faced a very severe battle with COVID. And I told my wife this morning, I saw a status from him, something about so happy to see the lights of home. And I said, you know, I don't know if this would be the case, but it's very, very possible that from this journey, there will be a reestablishment, a new growth in his personal life, in his marriage life, and in his ministry. And so those are the kinds of things that God brings to us, and those are the places that we magnify God from so many times. And I think that's why I wonder too, we wrestled this morning, Brother Kirvin asked us to wrestle with money, with all the ways in which we pad ourselves or prop ourselves up. And there is no doubt but that our society, our blessings here, our stability here, the stability of our heritage has cushioned us in ways that protect us a lot. And we face less of those. In other words, we're just not that close to the edge. We're not like, oh, Lord, thank you. The wheat harvest was just enough. We're going to survive. There was more people in this world collectively that know that journey than don't, I think. And so our freezer is literally so full, we're not quite sure what to do with it all. And so I don't know. I'm not. Anyway, those are just some random thoughts, I guess. But glorifying God comes from renewed hearts. And so I'll say this yet on this point, and we'll move along. To honor and glorify God is more than a feeling. It is a foundational understanding of God and myself. It is a commitment to faith and truth that move us to honor and glorify, to worship and magnify a power so far above us. And so we glorify God. Number three, the heart of thanksgiving is a gratefulness for our Creator's provisions to me. Already touched on it, but we'll just move through it. Again, we say thank you. I heard some words of thank you this morning. Good manners, great. We should keep doing that. Those words of thanks are sometimes words of respect, but often they're not necessarily words of gratefulness. Words of gratefulness, as I understand them, come from the heart. They have meaning to us and touch our hearts and will many times touch others' hearts. Did you ever give something to somebody and say, oh, thank you? You do not know. And they open up a situation that this just changed. And their gratefulness touches our own hearts more in ways that just words of thank you may not. God's looking for words that touch his heart. How about our prayers at mealtime? All right, everybody, bow your heads. Let's pray. And we say some words. And then we lift our heads and we say, pass the potatoes. Life is very normal. Life is about ritual. Life is about repetition. It's about getting rinse, wash, rinse, and repeat, right? So there's that reality. But the other reality is again and again and again, we must stop. We must bow our heads. We must have quiet long enough. We must focus our heart. And then we say, thank you, Lord. And that prayer is going to be meaningful in ways that the other is not. And so I think it's important that we ask ourselves those questions time and again, and perhaps we can pass that along to our little ones who are listening in. So put some thought to that. I think it's important. Gratefulness is also more than just about the moment and today. Gratefulness is connected to memory. What did Jesus say when he served the cup and the bread? What did he say?
Remember.
Yes, yes, yes. That was the essence of it. This do in remembrance of me, the King James says. This do in remembrance. And so it is about remembering. And so gratefulness is connected to the memory, not just of the moment, but the memory of what all God has done for me. And so there is a accumulation, if you will. There is that foundation that builds upon in our lives, and it moves us in ways that just the moment might not. And so gratefulness, to me, this word describes that time and time again getting filled to the brim, and then it does spill over to others and to God himself for his bountiful provision, mercy, and grace in our lives. Gratefulness brings so much. You could use the word thankfulness as well, but I'm using the word gratefulness. Gratefulness brings so much to our lives. It brings better health. It brings better relationships. It brings a place where from which we can serve others. And the list could go on and on, I'm sure, but I'll stop with that. Number four, and the final point here out of this verse is this final phrase, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Neither were thankful, but became vain. The opposite of that, I believe, is to understand, and I'll go back to a phrase that my father mentioned years ago, this phrase, understand that I am nothing and that God is everything. A heart of thankfulness springs from that mind, from that heart. Unthankfulness and ungratefulness are conditions that separate us from God because we are not acknowledging him for who he is. Not only do we distance ourselves from God, but we begin to fill that void with something else. And that void is usually something that's very close to us, and that's our own flesh. You know, I've gotten pretty good at that, Sonny. You know, you've perfected hanging doors, one of the better door installers in the community, and sky's the limit. It's all true. But when we begin to feel like that's who I am, and that's where I'm going to go, my vision for my business and my life is this. Not wrong to have visions. But I think you understand where that mind can take us, every one of us, not just on the men's side of the house, on the ladies' side of the house as well, because, you know, again, goals, ideals, vision, yeah, it's not an attack on that, but just recognizing that somehow by the grace of God, we may accomplish this or that. And so I think there is so much there that will help us. We become inflated in how we view ourselves, and we become like, I think that's really what this parable of the rich man's teaching us, who tore down his barns and built larger, and he praised himself for what he had done. And we see God's judgment coming down that every time. So we begin to trust in the mechanisms of this world. We begin to trust in technology. We begin to trust in science. Or we begin to trust in education. And I use the word trust to sort of bring some definition to that. And that somehow is going to solve the challenges of this world. And if we would just move more of us into those categories, we would all arrive at more of a utopian spot. And that's just not the world that God created. He will wreck that world every time. And yeah, I don't think I'll move on from that. There's a story that a fable, if you will, but that I thought illustrates it. But I don't have enough of the details in front of me to really say it well. But this idea is finally that the man in crisis almost always cries out to a power beyond himself, and that can be illustrated in many ways. And so I say again, we must acknowledge that the hard edge has come off of our lives in many ways. In the area of the very basics for survival, that edge has come off of our lives in many ways. Again, how many of us are truly concerned about the weather, the current status of my crop, or the lack of game in my area to survive? And so we've moved far beyond that. And I say because of that, it's easier for us to lose sight of our need for the very basics in life. And so, in conclusion, I ask us this morning, will we thank God this week? Will we thank God this week? I love Thanksgiving Day. I think it brings a lot of value to our lives, and I have no fight with it. But really, we all know that what we're teaching is what we're called to do every day by the grace of God, to be grateful and to be thankful. And so, will we worship? Will we magnify? Will we hallow our Father, which art in heaven? Will we hallow our Father? Jesus taught us to do that. And we can notice the really dark end to those who became vain in their imagination. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. May God help us. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you here this morning, and we do bend our knees, but we also bend our hearts before you and recognize you again as the Almighty, the Creator God, the Sustainer of all, beyond even, far beyond our comprehension. And so we recognize that again this morning. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for supplying our need again this morning here in this assembly. Your hand, your spirit, your blessing was upon us, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the different gifts that are here among us in teaching and the different ways in which we've been blessed, and so we thank you for that. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us, because we become so unthankful so easily, and our hearts do become hardened, and I pray you'd help us to minister not only to you in glorifying and magnifying, but also that we would minister to each other. And yes, beyond these church doors as we go out and about. Lord, help us to recognize that this is more than just a moment of feeling, but it is about a steady and sure foundational belief that you are good and that you have a plan and will for all that you have created, and that is going to be glorious, whatever it is. And so, Lord, give us courage as we go from this place. Give us faith and trust in you and love for each other and for those we meet this week. May you be honored and glorified by our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.